So today we're going to be in James, the book of James. We're going to be James chapter 4 and 4 verse 7. Now, last week I spoke about James 7. Bring up James 7. Did I give that to you? There you go. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I started out with resist the devil. I did that last week for those of you that weren't here. Oh, that would be almost everyone. And so I will say this, though. Last week, we had 13 in attendance. Amen. And then I was razzing Jason about his Ford. I was like, dude, you trusted your Ford to bring it. That's awesome. You made it. We'll pray that it gets you home. It got him home, and then the transmission went out. And I'm like, no, that's a true story. And then he calls me up and he says, man, you could throw away that voodoo doll now. And I said, I didn't think it would work. Anyway, I had to do it, brother. You drive a Ford, you die by the Ford. I mean, anyway. Okay, here we go. I talked about resist the devil. We were in Matthew chapter 4. And where Jesus resisted Satan's attacks. And if you remember, you know, Satan started out with, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. Now, he knew he was the Son of God. He knew who Jesus was. And the temptings in Matthew chapter 4 were only God-sized temptings. Because let's be honest, how many here can turn stone into bread? How many here can turn bread into stone? That's what I'm talking about. I got the men going, I ain't going to tell you my wife, but you know, so these were God-sized temptings. And so he knew he was the Son of God, but the first thing he challenges is our identity. If he can get you to lose sight of who you are, he wins. If he can get you to lose sight of whose you are, he wins. And what we see, the very first thing that Satan does, he's like, if you are the Son of God, and there's some of you sitting here today, I'm just telling you, you are struggling because you don't know whose you are. You may not even know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and that's respectable for the moment. And I pray that the day will come when that'll change. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then it's understandable why you're struggling and so on and so forth. But if you do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you're still struggling, the question that you have to ask is, why am I struggling? And did Satan rob me of my identity? Am I so caught up in the crazy of the world that I've lost my focus and I've lost who I am? That's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of Christians that are genuinely, they're legit a Christian. And they're just, man, they're caught in what I call the human hamster wheel. And they just can't seem to escape the crazy. And so the crazy's taking them down. And there's a few reasons why they can't escape the crazy, but the biggest reason, and then every other reason falls under that, I believe, is the first part of the verse. Therefore, submit to God. Submit to God. Because what we see is if we submit to God and resist the devil, he'll leave us alone. The first thing is not resist the devil, even though that's what I talked about last week. It's not resist the devil because we can do things in our own strength, and then after a while, we just get exhausted. Amen? So yesterday, because of all the water out here and the ice and it's crazy at our exit doors, I was out there yesterday for over 2 hours with a mall. How many know what a mall is? Not where you go shopping. It's like a sledgehammer on one side and it goes down to a point on the other. It's designed to have some weight to split wood. Well, I'm splitting ice. And so I'm out there and I'm just, man, for all I got, I called maintenance. I let them know what I thought about them. And then I went back to work, right? And so for over 2 hours, I am just busting up ice, putting down salt, breaking up ice and putting down salt. So I pray someone gets saved today for all my efforts. And here's the reality of it. My hands were hurting. I was tired, right? Man, you swing, you forget to breathe right, you pass out, you wake up, you start over, you know, all that stuff. And so by the time I was done, I was exhausted. The truth, I mean, I was genuinely tired. And so when you're tired and you're exhausted, and especially spiritually tired and exhausted, you can easily be overcome. And that's why we have to submit to God, because we need God's strength. We need God's power. We need the Lord to touch us and to strengthen us and guide us and direct us. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. Submit to God. And when we submit, like, what does submitting to God look like? Because if you, in today's generation, when you talk about submit, they're like, I ain't submitting to nobody. Okay, Balboa, let's go. We get this mentality, and God's like, no, you don't understand. You have to submit to me. And when we don't submit to the Lord, we fight the battle on our own. And you're like, God's with me, but you act like he's not. And so he's not with you because he's going to let you learn. You know, I remember Peter and when Jesus was like, hey, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Because Peter's like, Lord, it doesn't matter what happens. I'll die with you. I'll be there with you. I don't know what the rest of these dudes are going to do, but I'll never leave you. I'll never. And so he was so arrogant and prideful. And then Jesus says, hey, Peter, yeah, listen, buddy, I got some news for you. It's good and bad. What do you want first, right? And then, of course, he must have said bad because he gave him the first part, the bad part first. He said, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. And then his next response is, but when you return. I love the but when you return, because that means that he's going to come to his senses and God didn't hand him over forever just to be taught a lesson. And he says, and when you return, guys, some of you need to return. I'm just saying, some of you need to return. You're complaining, you're bitter, you're angry, you're blaming God, you're blaming other people. And what you really need to do is just stop. Like, just stop and clear the air, if you will, so you can see clearly. And you really need to look in the mirror. You need to understand, God didn't cause your problem. And usually other people don't cause our problems either. It's our outlook, our attitude, who we hang out with, the things we do, what we watch, all this stuff. Like, all this plays into our actions. And it brings us to a defeat. And I'm just telling you, you stay away from the Word of God long enough, eventually you don't have a joy in reading it. You watch bad things on TV, eventually you don't care to watch good things on TV. Like, eventually it just takes over you and it consumes you. You hang around the wrong people, and eventually you don't want to hang around the right people. I used to say, the cows don't come out of the barn smelling like you. I used to work, this is before I knew Jesus, I worked we call them taverns here, right? A bar, restaurant type deal. And I would tell you, every time I left there, and I'd get in my truck, I would smell the grease from that restaurant because it was a hole in the wall. And but by the way, some of the best food you'll get anywhere, right? And so I get out and I'm like, oh my goodness, I stink so bad, and it'd be in my clothes, and now it's smelling up my truck. Well, why didn't the place stay smelling like me when I was there? Because that's not what happens. And when you play with sin and you don't submit to God, it's just a ma and you don't resist the devil, it's just a matter of time before you start to stink. It's that spiritual death. And so if we're going to have victory, guys, and I'm telling you, this is going to carry you all the way through the rest of your life if you can remember this. If we're going to have victory, we have to submit to God. And one of the things about submitting to the Lord is you have to deny yourself. You have to humble yourself. Now, there's a big, oh, what? You want me to humble myself? I am humble. Look how good I'm doing. You know, you want me to deny myself? No, the world says it owes me, and now I belong to an entitlement society. But that's not what the Word of God says. Look here in Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone, now guys, this is key. This is so key. Don't get lost in this, okay? If anyone desires to come after me, if you want to follow Jesus, the very first thing you have to do is to deny yourself. The very first thing you have to do is go, okay, this isn't about me, and it's not my way. It's not what I want. It's what the Lord wants. Can we not squeak those shoes? Thank you. It's not what I want. I got to go, okay, I surrender. It's not my way, it's God's way. And some of you do that some of the time. Some of you don't do that. And some of you do it on your terms and your conditions. But he says, listen, you have to deny yourself. And then you got to take up your cross. That means if you're a Christian, you got to walk this out. And so you got to take up your cross and follow Jesus. See, everybody does really well with desiring to go after Jesus. Most people start faltering in this process here, right? Because deny myself, I deserve. I've worked hard for. I've earned. Like fill in the blank. Take up a cross. Hey, when I said I do to Jesus, that took up my cross. No. You got to be public about this. Do we hide it? I love Jesus, but if I say something, it's going to offend someone, and I don't want to offend anyone because, you know, they may not believe like I believe. And it's like, are you kidding me? If they don't believe like you believe, they need Jesus, so they need you to speak up. Well, you know, then I'm going to cause a rift, and I don't want to cause a rift because then you coward. Because that's what it comes down to. You're like, don't call me coward. Okay, you're cowardice. Why would you not take up your cross? Jesus says to take it up and then follow me. That means you got to walk right. Like if you're going to submit to God, it's literally all in this verse. Now, fortunately, I got 25 to 35 other verses that I'm going to share with you. So we'll be here until 2-ish. But it's okay because all the ice will be melted by then. And if you're visiting, I'm kidding. But this is it right here. What does it look like to submit to God? First off, you got to have desire. If you don't have desire to go after Jesus, meaning I want to learn more, I want to grow, I want to understand, I want to share, I want like all this Jesus lifestyle. If you don't have that, if you don't have a desire, Keith and I did a podcast last week. And it was just titled, I think I titled it, Passion is the Driving Force or something like that. If you don't have desire for God, you're never going to walk close to him. And you can pretend all you want and you can say, I love Jesus all you want. But here's the reality, you don't. And at best, you may be saved and you're just that prodigal son that's put him on the back burner for the last 25 years or whatever it is that you've not done that. Because, I mean, some people have really fooled themselves and have convinced themselves that they're saved, but you have no desire for Jesus. And I'm just going to simply tell you, if you don't desire him, it's probably because he's not your Lord. And then you have to deny yourself because it's not about you, contrary to what the world teaches. And you got to take up your cross. Meaning you got to walk this out, because if you're not walking it out and by taking up your cross and people can't see Jesus in you, then he's probably not in you, or at least at best you are nowhere near saved. And then follow me, which means that you have to walk like him and act like him and talk like him, being Jesus. And so if you're not doing that, guys, you're either you're not saved or you're like the prodigal child. And if you're content with that, you got big spiritual issues. Big issues. And then you're going to blame God or you're going to blame others because you don't have any of this, which means Jesus is just he's not, He's not a part of your life. And you can kid yourself all you want. You can feel good coming to church. Don't you love how I preach in such a way that makes you desire to keep coming? She's like, stop pointing a finger at me. I'm not. The first thing we got to do, guys, though, is humble ourselves. Look here in 1 Peter 5, 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves and he'll exalt you. We miss the humility part. We miss, and by the way, it's under the mighty hand of God, meaning that we humble ourselves and we submit by serving him and being obedient and allowing him to have this access to our life that nobody else has. And literally this submission, it reflects humility and obedience and trust in God's plan. And I find it really interesting is that we trust in God's plan until it gets uncomfortable and then we bail. Because, well, we don't know what he's doing. I don't like that, and so I'm out. I got a phone call the other day, and I'm telling you, it just warmed my heart, and God is so good and allowed it. And I said, hey, listen, because one of the things was, should I quit doing what I feel like God's called me to do? And it's like, no, you don't quit. You don't quit until God says to quit. Yeah, but it's not going the way I thought it was. Did God call you? Yes. Did God say you're free of that now? No, not yet. That's what I'm struggling with. Well, if you're struggling with it, you're not free. Don't quit. Because God grows us in these times. God prepares us. God molds us. And he gets us ready to do what? So he can exalt us in due time. But man, if we don't hang in there, if we run every time it gets uncomfortable, I'm going to tell you, if I would have ran every time it got uncomfortable, this church would have never got started. And it sure wouldn't have made it the first year or the second year or the third year or the fourth year or the fifth year, and you get the idea. You know how many times it's been uncomfortable? How many times? Listen, there was one time I was driving down the road. I was so angry, and I wasn't blaming God, but I was letting God know I was done. And I was so angry, and I'm driving down the road, 90. I'm heading out, and I call my wife, and I'm like, put what you want in that minivan, and I'll meet you in Ohio. We're done. And then God's like, okay, big boy, you're free to go, but you're going to miss this, 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 and this, and this. But go ahead, whatever you want to do. And I'm like, and I turn around, illegal U-turn, but it's past the time of being arrested, right? So he's, I got cops sitting up here. You got to be careful. They're like, and what day was this? And I turn around and I call my wife and I'm like, don't put anything in the van. She goes, I wasn't. Right? Quitting, guys, we all want to stop at some point. We all get tired because the world beats us up. And when you feel like you're the lone wolf, right, and you got this whole group that just seems to be attacking you, quitting seems to be the best option because we can run and hide. But God says, hold on a minute. Humble yourselves. Hang in there. And then under. Now, it doesn't just say hang in there, but look what he says. Under the mighty hand of God. What's the mighty hand of God? The right hand of God. The right hand of God has all the power. We read that all throughout Scripture. And he's like, listen, you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he'll exalt you in due time. Man, everybody wants to run at times. But I'm just going to tell you, we can't afford to run. The pressure's coming, and we humble ourselves. God, you're it, and I'm not. And you're all powerful, and I'm not. And God, you will do what you're going to do, but God, I'm going to trust you no matter what happens. And so I'm coming under your umbrella. And I'm just telling you, he'll exalt you in the day, but you have to humble yourself. And then submission. I put this up here, submission. Submission involves willingly. That's the key word here, guys. Not everybody is willing to submit to God because we want our money, our calendar, our desires, our my, me, I, like all of that. And so this willingly to yield my right to the Lord. That's where we struggle. We want it our way. When we want it, how we want it, where we want it, and that willingly, most people go kicking and screaming when it comes to surrendering to God. And then we act, then we get mad if God doesn't respond the way we want. And God's like, man, you're not even obedient. And your attitude is horrible. Listen, one of the rules in my house when the kids were growing up is I had five rules, and you follow those five rules and life was grand. You break one of those five rules and yeah, you got a spanking. And then of course the punishment changed as the years went on. And, but I was like, hey, you get a bad, you go to your room. I'm going to fire your tail up and we're going to help your attitude change. And you were like, well, they only changed your attitude because they was forced to. I don't care what it took. I didn't have to hear the mouth. Amen. Some of you parents are like, I wish I could do that. At any rate, so I'd send them in, and if you had a bad attitude, do you think God's going to bless you if your attitude stinks? And you really think that submitting to God, kicking and screaming is submitting to God? You got to do this willingly. Submission involves willingly yielding your rights for His. Because remember, we have all this liberty in Christ. Paul even says we have all this liberty, but not all this liberty is beneficial. And so we have to be careful. So submission involves willingly yielding one's rights, preferences, and desires to another with an attitude of humility and respect. Humility and respect. And there's another two parts that we miss when it comes to the Lord, because we don't really respect Him. Where's the humility if we're constantly fighting it? And by the way, you know, some people are like, oh, that's a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of weakness to surrender to God Almighty, the creator of the universe, the creator of you and me and everything that we see. That's not a weakness. Look here in James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what will happen? He'll lift you up. You're struggling. The first thing you do is surrender. Humble yourself in the sight of God. Don't run from church. Oh, I got problems in my life. I'll come back to church when I fix them. Are you kidding me? You just left all the power and prayer and loved ones that can help you through this situation. You leave it so you can be by yourself and die by yourself. And God's like, no, you know what? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. You can't leave God to fix a problem. You need God to fix the problem. And so if you exit in search of something else, that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to leave the power. He wants you to leave the strength. He wants you to leave God's hand and umbrella of protection. He wants you to run as far from God as you can, because now you're a sitting duck and He can take us out. I'm just saying, if you want to be lifted up, man, you got to humble yourself before the Lord. That humility is so difficult for some people. Look here in Luke 9:23. Then He said to them all, if anyone desires himself to come after Me, deny yourself. So we humble ourselves, we deny ourselves, and then God will lift us up. So when we talk about submitting to God, here's what we get. We get protection, right? We resist the devil. He flees from us. Grace. God gives grace to the humble. Exalted. God's going to lift us up when we surrender to Him. And then peace. And you know, so many people today, when we submit to God, He brings us peace and prosperity. And we'll see that here in a minute with Job. So many of us want peace. Just, if nothing else, peace within. And you know why most people do the dumbest things ever and make really silly, poor decisions? It's because they don't have peace within themselves, and so they're looking for it, and then they make horrible decisions to try to find it. And when they make these horrible decisions to try to find it, they do all this damage all around them. And then you never get the peace you're looking for. Because you left the only one that can give it to you. You can't leave God's direction, God's order, God's guidance, God's desire, and expect God to be there with you. It's not going to work that way. It doesn't work that way. God loves me everywhere I go. No, God's going to trip you up in some places just so you can learn a lesson. Well, God will be there. No. God will be where you left him when you return. Just like with Peter. And for some reason, we get this thing in our brain that we can hang in there and fight a little bit more. We can hang in there and fight a little bit longer. And it's like, why don't you just surrender? My wife gets so mad at me because I am the world's worst for taking medicine. As a matter of fact, I don't take it. And I remember one time I went into the doctors. They had me on this stuff. This has been 15, 16, 17, 18, whatever years ago now, 15, something like that. At any rate. And so he gives me this medicine because I have migraines. And then what they did, though, they give me this medicine that just shut me off. And so within 2 months, I'm looking like Santa. My stomach is out to here. I'm lethargic. All I can do, I eat. 15 minutes later, I'm going to eat again. And 15 minutes, so I'm eating like literally I am eating 25 hours out of 24 hour days. And it seemed like, right, like I was constantly just feeding this face. And then I'd get in a chair and I'd pass out. And then I'd wake up and I'd eat and then I'd pass out and then I'd wake up and it was like, and so I told Sherry, I said, I'm dying here. I can't do this. And I went to the doctors and the doctor said, I told him, I go, you need to take me off of this because it's killing me. He goes, no, we're going to leave it on. We're going to leave you on it for a little while longer. And I went, no, you ain't. I took my last one yesterday. And he looked right at Sherry and he said, if he stops cold turkey, he'll have a heart attack and die. And of course, she went. And so then she looks at me like, don't be an idiot. And then I look at the doctor and I said, give me something different then. They're like, no, I'm not going to do it. Nice knowing you. And he looked at my wife and he goes, he ain't going to take that medicine anymore, is he? And she went, no, he's not. And the doctor refused to do anything. So I went home and I wouldn't take the medicine at all. First day was okay. Second day, I'm like sweating profusely. Third day, my heart is coming out of my chest. Fourth day, I'm like, I don't know that I'm going to make it. Fifth day, everything started going back to normal. Sixth day, my wife almost killed me. She was so mad. She's like, why are you that? Stop. You're such a man. Quit. Blah, 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 right. And so to this day, if I have to take medicine, my wife puts it in a little thing, puts it on the counter and points at it. And I'm like, I'll get to it. She goes, oh, no, you don't understand. We're not reliving that. You're going to do this again. Right. I'm horrible at it. I broke a tooth 2 months ago, right to the nerve. You know how when you suck in air, you're like, oh, dear Jesus, come take me now. One of those type deals. Yeah, it's still broke. She's like, make a dentist appointment. I'm like, I don't need a dentist. I need an oral surgeon. Well, call one. I don't know one. And so I'm an idiot. I'm horrible at it. And then all of a sudden I wake up in pain. My face is swollen. My eye hurts. I got migraine because this tooth is killing me. And I'm like, oh, it'll pass. How many relate to being that? Yeah, right. And I got some women. Yeah, all right. I'm not alone. And my wife's like, why don't you just go get it taken care of? And for some reason, I think I can just fix it by myself. So I'm researching. the silliest thing ever, but I might be onto something. I'm researching. Can you? You guys are going to think I'm crazy. I'm sweating. I gotta stop talking. I'm researching, can you regrow teeth? I'll let you know how it goes. Any rate, Look, we have to submit to God and stop acting like we don't need the dentist and we don't need the doctor and we don't need this and we don't need that. And so we hang in there and we just keep fighting through life when if we just stop and say, okay, God, here I am. If I had just went to the dentist 2.5 months ago, I wouldn't be dealing with it today. You get what I'm saying? And some of you just need to go to God and go, okay, I surrender. But for some reason, like, we think we can just keep conquering this. By the way, I haven't figured out how to regrow teeth yet. But I haven't given up. And therein lies the problem. We don't give up when it comes to the Lord. We just hang in there and fight and fight and fight. And we fight our parents and we fight this people and we fight our boss and we fight and fight. And it's like, just stop. Just stop. Surrender to God. Submit to God. And you're going to have this peace. But as long as we fight him, that peace is not on the horizon. I'm just telling you. So we see some core commands in this submission. Look here in Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable. Like God's not saying to be, like, this isn't an over and above thing. To present your bodies a living sacrifice, that means that you're going to die to yourself and you're going to live unto the Lord. There's some humility in there. There's a surrender in there that you're giving yourself to God. And then you're going to be holy. And I love how he says, holy, acceptable to God. Not holy the way you think is good enough. Right? But holy, acceptable to God, what he thinks is good enough. And again, it's defined what God expects, not left up to our own imagination. And not, some of you are like, hey, you know what? I have God right here. That's my church. You're an idiot. Well, I don't need to go to church because I have Jesus and I have this own relationship with him. And I have, you're like the first guy. Well, I can do this on my own. You're really like the first guy. I don't go to church because I'm trying to work out my problems. Oh, you're tenfold the first guy. You see, I'm telling you, it's got to be what God says is acceptable, not what you think is good enough. You know, Jesus says this, and all throughout, Jesus sets an example. And we're going to look at some of this in just a second. But in the scriptures, they ask Jesus, when are you going to return? Or when is the day? When is the day you're going to return? And Jesus says this, very specific. No one knows the time of day, not the Son, not the angels, but my Father only. So Jesus doesn't even know the day of the rapture, of his return, when he's taking us out. He doesn't even know the day. And you're like, well, I thought he was God. Stop. He is God. He is God over all of creation. But he also submits to his Father. And we're going to see this. And so he says, no one knows the time of day, but my Father only. And what we see is Jesus comes in and submits to his Father. Why? He reverences his Father. He loves his Father. And then when you look at how that whole, why they never questioned him, like, well, if you were God, Jesus, why don't you know the time or day? Then nobody asked him that because they understood why. So you have to understand some Jewish culture here. So what would happen is the man would be a spouse to the woman. We call that engaged, but it would be a spouse. They were married without the consummating of the marriage. So in their culture, if you were engaged, that was equal to being married. So if you cheated on your boyfriend or your spouse, you could be stoned to death or vice versa, right? So they looked at it the same way. But what would happen is the man would go to his father's house and would add on to his father's house. And what did Jesus say? I go to my father's house and add on, making room. So we see this culturally, and Jesus doesn't violate the culture as though he's and he doesn't know the time or day, because in the culture, the man would go and add on to his father's house, and he couldn't go get his bride until the father says, it is finished, go get your bride. That's why Jesus didn't know the time, because it was up to the father of when the addition was done. Because the truth be told, if it was up to us, I'm like, listen, insulation on the wall, windows are in, door locked, shades are up. Yeah, let's go get her. I'll finish the trim later. Men, how many of you be the same way? You're like, this is good enough. And of course, the rest of you are lying. I had three hands go up, and the rest of you are like, okay, no, I'll do it right. You liar. Anyway. And then we're like, no, the trim's good enough. And how's that go? There's nothing more permanent than what we do temporarily. That trim, I sell the house before the trim gets done. And I live in it 20 years. That's why it was up to the father to tell the groom when it was time to go get the bride, because the groom, he would be not, he'd have brain fog with the thoughts he's having. Fuck, you're there. All right, so here we go. So that's why, put Romans 12:1 up to me if you will. That's why what is acceptable to God. It's not on our terms, it's on his terms. Look here in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. By the way, this 12:1, it appeals to present our bodies as this living sacrifice, as spiritual worship. We're worshiping God with our bodies. And then this one here in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Not some of it, all of it. What does all mean? All means all, and that's all means. It is all-encompassing, nothing left out, all. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And there's another failure that some of us have. You trust God until it's uncomfortable. Then you don't trust him anymore. You can get a clear word from God, and then you're like, oh, okay, I'm all in. And then when you got to walk this out, or you got to live this clear word out, and you start getting uncomfortable, you're like, nah, that wasn't of God. I was making that up. I got to go. Because you didn't trust God. Yet if his word says it, and you feel like he has told you, and it doesn't violate the word of God, then we need to hang in there like a hair in a biscuit, as some would say. With all of your heart, don't lean on your own understanding. That's why we got to know the word of God. Next verse. In all of your ways, that is in everything that we do, everything that we say, every way that we act, in all of our ways, we have to acknowledge God. We have to acknowledge the word of God. We have to acknowledge that God is in control and we are not in control. And so that means that there are just times that if we go to look at something and we know it's inappropriate, if we're going to acknowledge God and acknowledge him in all of his way and all of our ways, then we go to look at it and we're like, no, wait a minute, that's not proper. God doesn't want me to see that. I acknowledge it because I understand it because of the word of God. And then we back out and we don't do it. The problem is when we haven't died to ourselves, we haven't humbled ourselves, we look at it. The Holy Spirit says, don't look at that. And we're like, I know this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. God, forgive me. And we keep on. You didn't acknowledge him, or you acknowledged him and then denied him. But you want God's hand on you? It doesn't work that way. That's not how God works. And so we acknowledge him and then we die to his ways, not our ways. He will direct our paths if we're leadable. But if we don't let God lead, he can't direct our paths. We see Jesus sets this example of submitting. Look here in Luke 22, 42. This is Jesus, and he says, Father, if it is your will, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And that's where most people fail. We don't hit The nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. We don't hit that. Okay, God, your will. All right, I'll convince me this is your will. Okay, I know it's wrong, but it's really what I want to do. And Jesus says, no, because I don't know about you, but Jesus was not celebrating going to the cross to be beaten and abused and to be stabbed and have a crown of thorns shoved on his head and have the thorns running through his skin and his skull, to have his skin ripped off to where you could see literally bone and muscle and all that. That's how bad that he was beaten. Jesus wasn't like, yeah, hey, I'm signing up. Woo, I get to go. He wasn't doing that. And we know because he says, take this cup from me if it's your will. Nevertheless, it's not my will, it's not my desire, but it's yours, Father, and I submit, I surrender. We won't even submit to be that much uncomfortable, but look what Jesus did so that we could have life and have life everlasting. Look here in Philippians 2:8, where Jesus describes describes Jesus humbling himself through obedience all the way to the cross, to death. And being found in appearances as a man, he humbled himself, Jesus, notice the capital H, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. If God were to ask you to submit or to surrender anything, where are you at with that? If he says, don't look at, will you not look at it? If he says, don't watch it, spend time with me, will you turn it off and spend time with him? I'm talking simple things on the most basic level. Where we're told to keep our testimony, will you keep your testimony? Will you live right so they can see Jesus rather than seeing you? I'm talking the most basic level. Are you even willing to submit to that? Because if you can't get there, you're never going to get to the hard things. And then you're going to be mad at God when bad things come into your life. And God's like, how can I exalt you when you won't die to yourself, when you won't surrender, when you won't submit? How can I lift you on high? How can I protect you when you keep running to the problem and to the danger? How can I deliver you when you won't let go of it? Guys, I'm telling you, submitting to God requires discipline. And that's when people are like, oh, you're a wimp. You Christians, you know, the hardest thing in my life is walking the Christian walk every day. That's the hardest thing. I don't know about you guys, but there are sometimes I just want to high five somebody's face. And it is the love of Jesus and the restraint of God and dying to myself and living unto him that has spared them. I got into an altercation with a guy one time, this has been years ago, and I looked him dead in the eye and I said, the only thing saving your life right now is Jesus, and you don't even know him, but he's telling me to leave you alone. And then they say the most whatever things, and you're just like, I'm gonna pray for you. You need to thank Jesus, but I'm gonna pray for you today and walk away. We have to be obedient, not worry about what someone else says or does, not worrying about if your pride has been attacked. I am sure Jesus's pride was attacked on the going to the cross. Look here in John 5:30. Jesus says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If Jesus does this, do you think God's going to accept anything less from us? No, we have to seek God's face. We have to die to ourselves, and then we have to submit to the Lord. And then there's some good things, some results that happen of submitting. Look here in Job 22:21. It says, now acquaint yourself with him. That means get to know him. Have this personal relationship with him. And be at peace. That's what we want. We want peace. Thereby good will come to you. You want good? You're after good? You want peace? You have to acquaint yourself with the Lord. You have to submit to the Lord. Look here in Psalm 37, 5 and 6. Commit your way to the Lord. That commit, again, that word means to establish yourself in total surrender. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. Next verse. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. He will bring forth what you're looking for. He will lift you up. He will hold you. He will protect you. God will bring the peace and security that you're looking for. It'll be in him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you realize that the bonds that were holding their hands together weren't released until they went through the fire? It was the fire that freed them. Did you ever think about that? They stayed faithful. Hey, God, you know what? God brought me here. God can take me home, but I'm only going to serve I'm going to serve God. I'm serving my Lord. Well, you're going into the fire. You're going to be Kentucky Fried Chicken. I can be whatever fried chicken. It doesn't matter. I am not serving. I'm not kneeling to a false God. And so they throw them into the fire, bound up, and then the fire frees them. And where's God? In the midst of that fire. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you submit to God, even though it looks like you're going to get thrown into the fire, God will deliver you, however that looks. They didn't sell him out because they were afraid of the fire. They didn't let go of God because they were afraid of being burned. If he delivers me, praise be to God. And if he doesn't, praise be to God. And so, guys, understand, sometimes the fire is what delivers us. Sometimes the fire is what frees us. But, man, if you are not submitting to God and surrendered to God and sold out to God and desire God, if you're not there, you're not going to be delivered. You're just not. Because God is not interested in delivering the disobedient. Have just let us ride out our poor decisions sometimes. And we understand those have consequences. And then look here in Romans 8, 7. Because we have to also understand the opposite of all this. That if you have, look here, the carnal mind is enmity or war against God. And so if you are thinking, I'm just going to stay focused on what I want, me. Look at this. That's the carnal mind, because you're looking what you want instead of what God wants. And then it says, the carnal mind is war against God. Do you really want to war against God? And do you really think you're going to win any of this? No, we have to submit. And we have to submit what he says. And I'm quickly going to cover how to submit to God. And the first thing we talked about is we have to humble ourselves. It's got to be humility. You have to acknowledge you can't do this on your own and you need God. And then we have to relinquish control. That's the problem. Most of us, we still control our own lives, regardless of what God says. Romans 8:28. I want you to see Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. All things work together for good. What good? God's good. If you love God, God's going to work it all out. Doesn't mean he's going to deliver you from from walking through the fire. It doesn't mean that. It just means that what God brings us to, he'll bring us through. And all these actions, even though they're uncomfortable sometimes, they work together for the good of God, which ultimately works for our good. To those who are called according to his purpose, God has a plan for us. But we can be disobedient and say no. But you have to understand that God will work things out for the good. Then look here in Matthew 6:33. When we align our desires with God's will, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. First, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what? God's going to bless us. Now, in this particular case, it's very specific. I don't want to take this out of context. It's our needs, our necessities. If we seek God and His righteousness, He'll make sure our necessities are taken care of. These things, you have to go back to verse 25 to see what these things are. And then he says here in 33, but I want you to see that when we seek God's face, when we first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then He will bless us. And so we have to submit to God, and we have to seek God's face and relinquish control. We have to humble ourselves. And then we have to submit to God by reading His word. There's so many people, you're not reading the word of God, and you're wondering why you have problems, why you have struggles, why you don't understand. You're not reading the word of God, and so you misinterpret the things of God. You're not reading the word of God, so you get mad at God because you think God should be doing this because somebody has lied to you and convinced you that God is not going to let you go through the fire, and then you get mad when the fire comes, and it's like this whole mess. And I'm just going to tell you, we have to read the word of God so we understand the word of God, understand the things of God, be strengthened by the word of God, and then we can walk through the fire even if we get burnt. Look here in 2 Timothy 2:15, and I'm almost done. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, the teaching, for reproof, to be corrected, for correction, to be corrected and help others be corrected, and for instruction in righteousness, how we shall walk, what we shall do, the word of God. If you want God on your side and you want to understand the things of God, you're going to submit to God. You got to know who the God is that you're submitting to. And if you don't know the word of God, you don't know God. And if you don't know God, it's highly unlikely you're going to submit to Him. It just is what it is, guys. I'm just saying, it is what it is. Look here in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So all scripture is by God. God breathed. God, His breath, Holy Spirit breathed on the word of God. So it's truth and it's accurate and it is profitable. Is profitable. And so I just want you to see that as we look at this, that we have to understand God gave us His directions so that we can be empowered, strengthened, emboldened, righteous, and holy, and walk with Him and be connected to Him and have this very precious, intimate relationship with God, the creator of the world. But if we don't submit to God, you don't get any of that. We get headaches and headaches and headaches and headaches and more headaches. And then we get angry because we can't get rid of the headaches and we don't understand. And it's like, why, God, why? And God's like, because you won't surrender. And if you're not going to surrender, how can I bless you? I can't bless disobedience. My children disobedient. No way in the world would I bless them. No way in the world. And God's not going to bless those that are disobedient either. And then my last verse. Because, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, it's legalism, it's duty, it's a lot of do's and don'ts. And I'm just going to tell you, it's not that. It's a proper relationship. And every one of you, if you have a proper relationship with your child and they're obedient and respectful and you're loving and they're, it's a wonderful relationship. But if there's this constant contention and dissension in there and the kid wants his own way and he's disobedient and the parent can't do anything with it, the parent is suffering and struggling, the child is suffering and struggling, the relationship is almost non-existent. So if you have a problem child, you look at your relationship with your children or you look at how your children are a problem child, and that's how you can equate that to what God's talking about. Just for a reference. And then we look at the last verse that I'm going to use. When we obey God, here's what we do. We demonstrate our love for Him. And Jesus says this, if you love me, this is how I will know, you will know, and everyone else will know. If you love me, keep my commandments. If we're disobedient, we're spitting in the face of God like some of these kids with their parents, disrespectful, entitled, deviant, manipulating, just flat out disobedient and all of that. You guys know what these relationships look like, because this is the world we live in today, where the kids are just obnoxious and off the chart, and parents need to become parents, but they're too interested in being friends, and so they won't discipline. And so you got a three-year-old that nobody likes. And that three-year-old is going to grow up to be a 13-year-old that nobody likes, and a 30-year-old that nobody likes, and so on and so forth. And this disobedience is going to have them in a ton of trouble and a ton of heartache as life goes on. And Jesus says, if you love me, it won't look like that. And you won't act like that. See how easy this is, guys? When we think we can't relate it, look at where we're at today with children and parents. And it's like, how can a child be so disrespectful to their parent? Well, because there's no respect there. There's no submission there. There's no honoring. There's none of this stuff. But when you find that, or when you see it, man, it is so beautiful, and everyone desires it. And I'm just telling you, if you love Jesus, you will keep his commandments. You will submit to him. You will surrender. You will die daily. You will invest in the word of God. You will understand the things of God because you understand God. And then you'll have this intimate relationship that is the most beautiful thing that anyone could ever ask for. That's what submitting to God looks like. That's what it looks like. And then you can use the lousy excuse, I'm only human. Oh, please, you're the one I want to high five in the face. What a lousy excuse, because God says, be holy as I am holy. God says, your reasonable service is holiness. The holiness that's acceptable to him, that's your reasonable service. Not your excuse, well, God knows my heart. Man, I would run from someone that says that, because they're about to get struck, and I don't want to get sizzled from the after. Man, you want a relationship with God, it starts with submitting. You want the devil to flee from you, it starts with submitting. You want to be strengthened in the fire, it starts with submitting. You want deliverance? It starts with submitting. You want to feel God and know that he's there and watch him do amazing things in your life? It starts with submitting. Unless you're just okay with a really bad tooth and it hurts all the time and gives you a migraine, makes you feel like your eyeball is going to jump out of its socket and your teeth move and because of the swelling or whatever, and you're still like, I can find ways to grow teeth. If you're that one, don't be shocked that you're struggling. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised that you don't hear from God, that you don't see God. Don't be surprised that things keep going sideways in your life because you don't have the hand of God on you. Don't be shocked. Because we usually always get what we go after. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this day and this time. Father, I pray your hand upon each and every one of us. And Father, I pray more than anything that this generation, Father, the group of people that's just living on earth right now, because we've been so deceived by Satan to think that we are deserving of that things that you don't even want us to have. And yet he has disguised that to look so beautiful and to sparkling gold to capture our attention. And Father, I pray that we have some self-discipline in ourselves. Father, I pray your hand to lead and guide and direct us, Father, and to discipline us when necessary. And Father, capture our attention instead of the things of the world capturing our attention. And then Father, we submit to you. And Lord, I just pray that especially as Christians, that we learn that and we live that. And then, Lord, for those who don't know you yet, Father, I pray your hand upon them. Father, that you break their heart so that they will surrender to you, first with their life and then with their actions. If you're here today, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God will never deliver you from the fire until that happens. And God won't guide and direct you. And you can't have this intimate relationship with him until you surrender first. And the Bible says that with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and then with the mouth you confess Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. with the heart. That's very intimate, very personal. And if you've ever believed unto Jesus, you know what I'm talking about, and you know how he captures your heart. And then you're not the same. The Bible says that once we give our life to Jesus Christ, that we live different, we walk different, we act different, we talk different, because now we're his. And so if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity to change that. And so with all of your heart, you have to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That he's the only way to heaven, that there is no other way. With all of your heart, you have to believe that he conquered death and hell and that he rose on the third day. With all of your heart, you have to believe that there is not another Savior in the world but Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if you believe unto Jesus as your Lord and Savior, with your heart, you're saved. And if you've done that, I just asked you to pray this prayer with me. The prayer isn't magical. It just gives you a timestamp. The fact that you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, that's what saved you. But if you've done that and you want a timestamp where you go, no, this day, because Satan will attack you, and you're going to need a confirmation. And so if it's your desire to believe unto Jesus Christ, that's what saved you. This prayer, if you wish, you pray it quietly to yourself. Jesus, today I've surrendered. I believe that you're the only Savior there is. There is no other. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe the Father sent you, and you were obedient, and you submitted to his will. And because of that, I can come to heaven. I can be a child of the Father's. And so today, with all of my heart, I believe that what the Bible says is true, every word of it, even though I don't understand it. I also understand that my life will never be the same. And if it is the same, and there's never been a change, I understand that my decision was probably not real. But today, with all of my heart, I surrender. Jesus, I ask that you forgive me of all the wrong I've ever done. And today I repent. I'm going to turn and I'm going to stop living out my life for me, and I'm going to start living my life for you. Guide me, show me, direct me. Today I surrender all.